Welcome to worship, everyone, wherever you are. We are all joined in one fellowship by the very Spirit of God. It's been another busy week for us here in Skegness, despite the weather being a bit autumnal. We have been blessed with many of our regular visitors, including Susan from Derby and some new people. An update on Margaret. She's finally got home from hospital on Tuesday, and on Wednesday she spent some time with us and was able to help Eleanor in the charity shop. She's still not 100% and is still struggling to walk about. We continue our prayers for her. On Wednesday, after we shut the shop, I went to Pilgrim Hospital to visit Peggy. She's recovering from the surgery on her hip and was pleased to see me. Dot is still finding it hard to cope without Mike, but she is managing to get in most days. In fact, she did help out in the shop on Thursday. We're grateful for the barbecue she put on at home for the church members after the service last Sunday. So let us now prepare for worship, for now is the time to worship. So come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Let's sing, come, now is the time to worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme this month is spiritual treasure, and today we explore that fundamental part of our faith, the Holy Spirit, which is our spiritual treasure. God declares, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Let us pray. Lord, we gather for worship in the precious name of Jesus. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit as we offer our worship in and through Jesus. Minister to our needs in body, mind and spirit, that we may know your gifts of healing and wholeness. Enable us to respond to your word to us and your spirit dwelling in us, that our worship and our witness may be to your praise and glory. Lord, glorious things of thee are spoken. We pray for the coming of your kingdom of justice and joy, right here and right now. Amen. So let's sing, glorious things of thee are spoken. Well, as I said, the theme for this month and for our meeting today is spiritual treasure. Already this month, we've seen how heaven is our heavenly treasure and that our goal is to inherit our heavenly treasure and how we are warned by Jesus not to squander it if we are to avoid our inheritance of heavenly treasure becoming for us lost treasure. Christianity is not about a prosperity of earthly treasure. Our treasure is godly or spiritual treasure. And we can have that in abundance if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and submit all we are and all that we have to God, including our future. Christianity is about believing in faith that the future ultimately belongs to God, a future which we all share and a future which extends beyond this transitory life into eternity. We've seen this month that giving our life to Jesus is something that we can't just wait to do until we've explored all other avenues, because, as Jesus says, death may come at any time like a thief in the night. It's God's purpose and pleasure that all people will be saved. But as we all know from our experience in life, not everyone is prepared to make the sacrifices that being a believer often requires. The significance and practical difference with Christianity compared to other religions is that God doesn't just make demands on us. He offers to help us meet those demands. And he does so through the power of the Holy Spirit. God declares, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, we're bombarded on our TV screens with advertisements for products to help us stay healthier. And God offers us a way to stay healthier, and in a very practical way too. He administers his love through the Holy Spirit in order to keep us spiritually healthy and spiritually wealthy. There are different ways to healthy spirituality, but they all involve a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus forgives our sins, heals our diseases, and redeems our lives from the victory of death. And he crowns us with love and compassion. That very compassion we receive prompts us to act with compassion towards others. And we shall hear yet another story of Jesus' compassion when we come to our reading from Luke's Gospel later in our meeting. Now let us come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, there are just so many reasons for us to be thankful. We thank you for your provision day by day, the clothes on our backs and the food in our mouths, as well as the food for our souls. For your blessings that are too numerous to count, those we are aware of and those that are going on behind life's scenes. We thank you for your gift of this day, when we can join together in praise and honour of you, recharge batteries and spend quality family time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you for this fellowship, for your goodness that forgives, heals, redeems, crowns and satisfies. Jesus, we want to proclaim your precious name, especially in our community and among our family and friends. Lord, we indeed lift your name on high. We love to sing your praises, and we're so glad that you're in our lives. We're so glad that you came to save us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High."
Lift your name.
So, as I said, there are different ways to healthy spirituality, but they all involve a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus forgives our sins, heals our diseases, and redeems our lives from the victory of death. And he crowns us with love and compassion. Let us pray. Lord God, we seek your forgiveness for our weaknesses. We're sorry for the times our eyes have been downcast and we've trodden a worldly path rather than looking up to you. Forgive us, Lord, for poking fun at others, for harsh, cruel words that have erupted from our tongue, for neglecting you and going our own way. Lord, we're so sorry. Thank you for your gracious mercy, for your forgiveness and your love that never wanes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart set free, from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me." Let's sing. So let us again come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we remember before you people and situations in need of our prayers today. And we do so with confidence, knowing that you have promised to listen to our prayers and indeed to answer them. Lord, you are the King of the world. You are the one true God, who alone has the power, might and majesty. Therefore, we pray for the leaders of the nations, that they may have a right understanding of their place in the world. We pray for their wisdom as they seek to bring peace to troubled areas of the world. Lord, we lift Ukraine and Russia to you and ask for you to be present in all the negotiations between the leaders. We continue to pray for Israel and Gaza, asking that ceasefire conditions will soon be accepted. Remember all the other place is no longer headline news, but where there is still fighting and war. We pray for all those who are struggling under the weight of war and oppression. And we pray for their leaders, that they will have glimpses of your glory and turn away from war to be people of peace. And Lord, we pray for those who govern our own country, that they will not be drawn into conflict with other countries, but will work for peace. We pray that they will govern with a heart for the people they represent. Lord, show them how to act justly, rather than just seeking vote-winning policies or personal gain. Lord, we bring to you today all young people who have received the results of their examinations this week. And we ask you to be with them in their joy and in their sorrow. Lord, we know that many will be rejoicing and looking forward to the next step in their lives. We pray that they will turn to you to help them make the right choices. And Lord, we know that there will also be those who are disappointed with their results. And we just pray, Lord, that they too will trust you for the future. And Lord, we know that many people are ill at this time, and particularly those we know, or suffering in other ways. And we hold them before you now, asking that your will be done as we name them before you. Lord, you are high in the heavens, and yet you stoop to come down to make your dwelling among us. And you care about every detail of our lives. Thank you that we can bring even the most seemingly insignificant troubles to you, and you hear us, and you respond in love. And so, Lord, we pause to think of those things that are particularly on our minds right now. Lord, help us to listen to your voice. Respond to the needs that you put on our hearts. And give us the courage to step out of our comfort zones and follow where you take us. Help us as a church to seek more ways of serving those in our community who genuinely need our support. Lord, your psalmist writes, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." So, Lord, into your hand we commit all we have prayed for and trust in your compassion. And, Lord, as you taught us to pray, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mould us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Let's sing Spirit of the Living God. So once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord. And once again, I remind you that the Lord is just so generous to us. So we too should be generous in our giving. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you again to bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, not just today, but every day, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ, who is the centre of our lives today and every day. Amen. I feel that many of us may be getting a little concerned at the way in which our faith is being sidelined more and more in today's society. But that should be no reason for us to give up. Indeed, it's a rallying call to us all to shake off our own apathy and work even harder for the kingdom of God, so that whatever stage of your spiritual journey you're on, the call is to each of us. And the call is, light up the fire of the Holy Spirit and let the flame burn. Open the door. Let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit. Let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus and let his love show. Let's sing Light Up the Fire.
Colors of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up. The night is behind. Go down in the city, into the street, and let's give the message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit, let his fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. Take seeds of his Spirit, let his fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. Open your eyes, look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. Jesus is living, his Spirit is near. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit, let his fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Return, take seeds of his Spirit, let his fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show.
Take seeds of his Spirit, let his fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. So go in peace to love, serve and obey the Lord with the blessing of God, whose Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we continue our exploration of the letter to the Hebrews, and once again we are confronted with the consequences of falling away from our faith. And we could find this just a little bit discouraging. But the passage is rooted in a firm reminder of God's holiness and his search for righteousness in everyone. The passage recalls the awesome occasion when the law was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. It's a passage which focuses on the awesome nature of God, the terrifying warnings and severe penalties of that first mountaintop covenant, which of course we refer to as the Ten Commandments. Thanks to the death and resurrection of Jesus, believers today don't have such a threatening covenant. Let's hear now from Hebrews.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, that's not an easy passage for us. It was written to the first Christians, most of whom had been brought up with the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. And so they would have all been too familiar with Mount Sinai, where Moses received the Ten Commandments, and of course Mount Zion, the image of the heavenly city. But even for us in that passage, the contrast between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion couldn't be clearer. We are presented here with an incredible contrast between the Old and New Covenants which God has made with his people. Mount Sinai, a mountain that can't be touched, that is burning with fire, a sight so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Compare that with Mount Zion, which the writer is referring to here. It's not literally a mountain on which stands the city of Jerusalem, but the heavenly city of God. And all those who dwell there with him, thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, the spirits of those made righteous by the blood of Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews is saying that everything that came about through Jesus is far better than the past experience of Israel. Jesus completes all past covenants with God and is the fulfillment of everything they look forward to. Jesus completes God's presence and remains in us through the Holy Spirit. So the message then and for us today is, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. In our next reading, which is from Luke's Gospel, we hear how Jesus is met on the Sabbath and in the synagogue by a woman who has been crippled for 18 years, and this has been attributed to the work of an evil spirit. She and Jesus are ignored by the rest of the people in the synagogue, because it's the Sabbath, and strict observance of Jewish law prevents any healing, which is seen as work. Nevertheless, Jesus transforms law into gospel. He transforms indifference to the woman's suffering and exclusion into compassion and inclusion. Let's hear now from Luke's Gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue rulers said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Jesus' response was once again to call them hypocrites. You may remember he used that same word in last week's reading when he was chastising the people for ignoring the signs of the times. I expect he would find a huge number of reasons to use the word today. The religious leaders of Jesus' day couldn't see beyond the religious laws, many of which they had invented on the back of Scripture. They couldn't see that what was required in this situation was simply compassion. And of course, throughout the entire existence of the human race, there has been a huge need for compassion. In our fallen world, disease and disability are common. Their causes are many and multiple. Inadequate nutrition, or simply too much food, leading to obesity. Contact with sources of infection. Lowered defences due to stress. And whatever scientists and people in the medical profession attribute the cause of disease and disability to, all such things that interfere with the way we were created to live our lives have as their source direct attacks by Satan. And the good news is that Jesus is more powerful than the devil or any disease for that matter. Jesus so often brings physical healing in this life, and we hear of witnesses firsthand so many times. And when Jesus finally returns, he will put an end to all disease and suffering. In the meantime, although we may suffer, Jesus can set us free. And that freedom is not about going through this earthly life without illness or suffering. No, the freedom Jesus brings to our lives is different. He sets us free spiritually. And by freeing us spiritually, he is preparing us for that glorious day when there will be an end to all hurt and all suffering. It's just so difficult to take on board the whole concept of eternal life, or as some would say, life after death. Because death, it just seems so final. And it's made worse by the fact that once someone dies, all we have left are memories of them, added to the fact that we have no idea what lies ahead. I'm sure if there was some concrete evidence of eternity, some sort of communication with those who've died, we might see a lot more people giving their lives to God. But as I've said so many times, we have to take this all on trust. And sometimes that's not easy. We want to know, I mean really know for sure, just what is going to happen after we die. Okay, yes, we have a vague idea. But think about this. When you read a novel, or for that matter, an historical or non-fiction book, do you find yourself looking for something, trying to guess what's coming next? Well, I expect whatever we read, we're always anxious to know what's coming next. What's going to happen? Maybe if what we're reading is about personal training or keep fit, or dare I say slimming, we might be tempted to ask ourselves, what is this book saying to me? What should I do next? But whatever book we're reading, the vast majority can never really connect with our lives. Some books might make an impression on us. They might indeed encourage us to go off and join a gym or join Slimming World. We might even find the book too emotional and not be able to read it. Reading a book might even change our life. Whatever we read or watch on TV, we usually find ourselves looking for something. Well, let me tell you about a book that is all that we need to look for. It's called the Bible. Not only can we find all there is to know about life, it actually speaks to us. It speaks to each of us in our own unique situation, and not through the voice of many diverse authors, but through one voice, the voice of God. God who speaks to us through a diversity of authors. In fact, in this week's Bible study, which is 2 Timothy 2:15, we have Paul writing to young Timothy about the Bible, which he refers to as the word of truth. Paul writes, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." You know, one of the great temptations of the busy believer is to stop studying the Bible. After all, throughout many years of Christian life, most of us have heard hundreds of sermons, perhaps even sat through a multitude of Bible studies. Indeed, modern believers find themselves with so many resources that it becomes easy to spend most of our time reading the Bible and less time actually studying God's word itself. The Bible is a miraculous book in which personal study never ends. Bible study is a lifetime endeavour for the committed believer. It's our assignment, our mandate from God. Believers should be motivated by a passionate longing to praise the Lord and please Him. Dedicated believers are to be people who devote themselves to the wholehearted study of God's word. All of this is done in order that we might, as Paul puts it, correctly handle the word of truth. In the Bible, we have the authentic voice of God Himself, our very Creator, showing us how He intends us to live. And if we follow the Maker's instructions, we will inherit our spiritual treasure. For the Bible itself is the key to our spiritual treasure, both here and now and in the future. The Bible shows us how we are to live, and it shows us how we can get all the help we need to live as we were created to live. Our spiritual treasure will bring us freedom and healing, true freedom and true healing. Spiritual freedom and spiritual healing are God's gifts to us through His Holy Spirit. Well, it all sounds so easy. Well, it is, but there is a price to pay in the here and now. Just take a look at the account from Luke. Jesus offered healing to the woman who'd been ill for 18 years. But more importantly, He offered her freedom. Her sickness had amounted to a form of slavery. She'd been excluded from society. Now she was free to take her rightful place in society, no longer bound by her illness. But Jesus went further in recognizing her as a daughter of Abraham. You know, He was bringing her back into society as a child of God. He was in effect saying, "Okay, you're healed, but you have been healed to take your place among the believers. You have encountered God, and now you have changed. Use that change wisely." The classic encounter with God is one in which we are shaken to the core and changed. It's an awesome experience, but it's one which many people walk away from even after a healing experience. You know, I've lost count of the number of people who have asked for prayers, and then when their prayers are answered, they simply walk away and get on with their lives as if nothing ever happened. I expect each one of us at one time or another has been shaken and stirred by God. But have we continued to live in the light of that experience? Experience of the holiness of God is not confined to professed believers. Many people have had a spiritual experience of God, although they may never realize it. And what worries me is that it's the church that may well be responsible for such a lack of understanding. Many churches still find it hard to come to terms with the fact that ordinary people can have a spiritual experience of God. It's not surprising then that they don't know how to deal with it, how to follow it up. And I say this not because of any hidden motive to get more people into our churches, but because of what I said just now. Jesus is in effect saying, okay, you're healed, but you've been healed to take your place among the believers. You have encountered God, and now you've changed. Now you can live the rest of your life as the Creator intended. Now you have inherited your spiritual treasure. And I'm not just talking here about physical healing, but also healing of wrongs, healing of spirit, healing of relationships. The Holy Spirit is active in seeking healing in all these areas and more. It's about wholeness. It's about creating and allowing us to be the men and women we were created to be. The Old Testament's key image of the holiness of God is the giving of the law at Mount Sinai among fire and darkness. The reading from Hebrews refers to this, but gives a new image, that of Mount Zion and the city of the living God. You know, the Bible is full of significant moments on mountaintops. Maybe you also have had a mountaintop experience. But what is important is this. When we are shaken and stirred by God, His purpose is to change us. His purpose is that we continue our lives in the light of that experience, an experience that showed us a glimpse of our spiritual treasure and all that we can achieve with such an inheritance. You know, Jesus is calling each and every one of us to that mountain, which is the city of God. And sometimes the journey seems too hard. Sometimes we're pulled in other directions. Sometimes we feel let down. Sometimes we feel tired. We feel we're afraid. Sometimes we feel unworthy. We feel trapped where we are. But in Jesus lies the potential of freedom. Freedom from the expectations and patterns of the past. Freedom to go beyond the barriers and bonds that constrain us. My dear friends, Jesus, through the power and touch of the Holy Spirit, ministers to our deepest needs, our need for freedom and fullness of life. Jesus is calling each and every one of us to the top of that mountain right here and now, where He will shower us with an abundance of spiritual treasure. Then there will be a new song in our mouths, a deep cry in our hearts, and a hymn of praise to Almighty God. Then we will be set free. Amen. Let's sing When I Was Lost.
Thank you.
This new week, help us to rejoice in the freedom we have in you. We thank you for your unconditional love for us and how you went to the cross to free us from the bondage of our sins. We thank you that you rose from the grave to free us from death and to enable us to live in the freedom and joy of your love. Help us to go from here renewed and invigorated by all that you are and all that you've done. And thank you, Lord, for setting us free through your Spirit. And so we go in the power of that same Spirit to serve you, Lord, and your people, with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.